D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you on Monday. Derek, myself, and David are back here in Nashville. Willie Donick up in Philadelphia, where the Predators will face the Flyers tonight. A 6 p.m. puck drop, 5 p.m. pregame, right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And I will say this, gentlemen. Whenever I hear the name Philadelphia, let me tell you what comes to mind.
Rocky?
And no, it has nothing to do with Rocky. It has nothing to do with cheesesteaks.
That would have been my answer.
Yes.
This story happened, by the way. I don't even know why I remember it. This story happened more than 10 years ago because it was before I moved to Nashville. It was when I was still living in Arlington, Virginia. And I was walking home from the grocery store. And I had my reusable bags because I thought it was cool and, you know, help the environment to not have the plastic bags. So I had my reusable bags. And a tub of Philadelphia cream cheese fell out of my bag because it was just stuffed. And the gentleman who was walking in the other direction noticed I dropped the cream cheese, which I did not notice, and shouted me down. And I went to go get the cream cheese and thanked him for making sure I didn't lose the cream cheese. And he says to me, "Philadelphia, huh?" Because it says Philadelphia cream cheese. I said, "Yeah." He goes, "The city of brotherly love." I said, "That's right." He goes, "You know what I call it?" "What?" "The city of brothers getting mugged." And then he just walks away. That was more than 10 years ago, and I still remember that. So anytime I think about Philadelphia, I think about this random interaction they had with a man on the street in Arlington, Virginia, calling Philadelphia the city of brothers getting mugged. So that's where the Predators are. That's where the Predators are tonight in Philadelphia. Hopefully nobody gets mugged on the ice for the Predators against the Flyers. Man. But
that was a good one. Was it an older gentleman?
Yes, he was.
Yes, I knew it. I knew it had to be an older gentleman.
He was seasoned, to say the least. Now, I don't remember him precisely. I do remember him being an older gentleman.
Oh, man.
But speaking of cream cheese, guys, the AFC coaches breakfast was today. And what I find fascinating about this, guys, is that I've actually never seen anybody eat breakfast at these things. I don't know if they have breakfast beforehand or if there's breakfast after, but I was watching Brian Callahan today. There was no breakfast around him, no cereal, no omelets. It's called the AFC coaches breakfast, but yet I'm not seeing anybody eating breakfast. And if there's one thing that I enjoy most, Willie and Derek, it's being asked probing questions while I'm trying to eat breakfast.
I don't think anybody, you know.
Then why call it a breakfast?
It's called a, they should call it a morning get together.
Yeah. I have, in all of the times I've watched these things, I don't think I've ever seen a plate of food on any of these tables.
They may scarf it down.
So I don't know if there is actually breakfast.
It's a early morning meeting.
But
they pregame it.
But Willie, you know, you don't want to have serious conversations with people over your Western omelet, right? It's just you want to enjoy it.
I wouldn't think.
Because then the omelet would get cold.
I have had breakfast meetings. But usually it's like a one-on-one or maybe a group of four.
You don't want Paul Kaharsky and Teron Davenport sticking microphones in your face while you're trying to eat your
– Mainly Paul.
Mainly Paul while you're trying to eat your parfait.
That's why you have to master the art of eating while talking. I mean, you should be, I guess you've probably mastered it. I'm sure they have. Because when you have kids, you're sitting at the table. That's all you're doing is talking and eating. You know,
yes.
So you got to sort of master that one thing in your life that truly and honestly, it carries over to everything else. Maybe not the actual conversation that you're having with your kids, but I'm saying the ability to talk, eat, tell them not to do that, and tell the dog to move over. Yeah.
I'm just saying that if you're going to call it a breakfast, I actually want to see people eating breakfast. Maybe it happens before, maybe it happens after, but I think it would be nice, like Brian Callahan having some scrambled eggs next to Teron Davenport and next to Paul Kaharsky. I wonder what Kaharsky eats for breakfast. He actually doesn't seem like a breakfast guy to me. I don't know why I get that vibe. Anyway, enough about cream cheese and brothers getting mugged. At the AFC coaches breakfast. At the AFC coaches breakfast. According to our friend Teron Davenport, who is live in Palm Beach, Florida. Tough gig, Teron. We'll talk to Teron at 1 o'clock. But he's at the league meetings in Palm Beach, Florida. And on ESPN.com, Teron Davenport writes this, quote, trading out of the number one pick remains an option for the Tennessee Titans as the NFL draft draws near. Titans coach Brian Callahan said that the team is open for business, but that it will take a significant offer to get Tennessee to move away from possibly selecting one of the top prospects in the draft. Callahan said, quote, we're open to everything at this point. If it's something you feel is beyond the value you ever thought you could get, that's one thing. But you also have to look at what a potential quarterback could look like. Those guys, to me, are priceless. Teron continues, according to Callahan, the Titans are 2 weeks away-ish, in quotes, from making their decision on the first pick. Callahan added that they have to still work through the process and that they have more touch points to go through with the prospects, namely Colorado's Pro Day to see Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. And I believe that Pro Day is Friday in Boulder, Colorado. So, Willie, hearing that from Brian Callahan at this pseudo breakfast where nobody eats anything, your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts haven't changed at all. I think you have to try as best you can to create the, I don't know if I would call it an illusion. It would only be an illusion if you already know exactly what you're going to do. But I want to create the conception across the league that I'm open to doing anything. I want to maximize the value of that first pick. And so if everybody knows you're just going to take Cam Ward and that's common knowledge, then nobody's going to call you and make a call. I think you have to present that you will take Cam Ward, but you will also hope that a lot of other teams want him and give you great offers for the first pick. It's as simple as that. I take tongue-in-cheek or take it with a grain of salt, mm-hmm. any article that comes out that says this or that, because really the lane that you're creating is that in reality. And so anything that's written or said, that you could make the case that it's true or that you're just trying to create that perception.
Well, I mean, listen, it started off, with will the Titans keep the number one pick? Then it's, they really love Cam Ward. Now it's, unless you're willing to offer something over and beyond, we're good with the pick. There's going to be this sort of back and forth, whether you want to call it misdirection or sort of changing of the minds in regards to what they're going to do with that number one pick. It happens just about every year unless you have, a consensus where this guy is going to be number one no matter what, whoever's picking at that spot. But this year's not one of those drafts. So, I think the Titans, they're at a point where they feel comfortable with drafting, say, two to three guys. So unless you want to get up to this spot, we're good. Whether it's Cam Ward, whether it's Abdul Carter, whether it's Travis Hunter or someone else, they feel comfortable at number one that they can get someone that is going to help change their franchise. Now, they would rather have a quarterback and that quarterback come in and do what Jaden Daniels did, what C.J. Stroud did, what Bo Nix did, guys like that come in and instant, superstars. But if they can get a guy, they feel they can get a guy that's going to help their franchise moving forward as they enter, into this new stadium in a few years. So unless you're going to give them, and we talked about this last week, unless you're going to give the Titans something over and beyond, they good. Now, I don't know if they're going to, I think they're more leaning toward drafting in Cam Ward, but that's not to say that they wouldn't draft Abdul Carter, which I would stay away from until I see actually him run and everything else. If he don't run, I'm staying away from him. Or Travis Hunter. So they're good with either one of those guys, I believe.
To no surprise, Brian Callahan sat down with Tom Pelissero of NFL Network talking about the NFL draft, and he said this, quote, "I think it's a short list at number one for sure. It's all the guys that I think are worthy of it, the ones that everyone talks about out there. And between Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward and Abdul Carter, I think those are, that's the top of the draft for me. Those are the most elite players in the draft. There's going to be a lot of good ones, certainly, that come after them, but I think those at this moment are the best players in the draft and at the top of it." So again, no surprise there from Brian Callahan. If the Titans, we all seem to believe that they are leaning toward Cam Ward, but it's a short list at number one, according to Brian Callahan, Travis Hunter, Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, Abdul Carter, not necessarily in that order. But again, not saying anything we didn't already know. Paul Kaharsky, who is, of course, also in Palm Beach, Florida, had an exclusive interview with Mike Borgonzi, Brian Callahan, and Chad Brinker over at his website, paulkaharsky.com. Kaharsky wrote, quote, "If the Titans are falling in love with Cam Ward, nothing will move them off the top spot in the NFL draft." Quote from Mike Borgonzi, "I was taught over the years, if you find the quarterback that you want and you think he's a franchise quarterback, then you're not going to pass on him." Added Brian Callahan, "I think anytime you can find a quarterback that can lift your football team and that you feel is the caliber of player you're talking about, those guys are worth more. There really is no price on those guys," Kaharsky writes. "So it's entirely possible Borgonzi's phone rings as the draft approaches or on Thursday, April 24th, and the Titans are not open for business? Yes," Borgonzi said.
I mean, it's again, we go back to there are certain teams that seems like they will not move up, and they're good where they're at. It seems like Cleveland and the Giants and maybe even New England are good where they're at.
And now, we're going to talk about that exactly. Just a little bit.
Now, because New England sits in fourth spot.
Correct.
Now, depending on what the Titans do, because it doesn't look like Cleveland is going to take a quarterback that high. Depending on what the Titans do and maybe what Cleveland does or thinking about doing, that may cause New England to want to jump up a spot or two, because they would have to over the third seed, the third team in that. And who is that? I think it's Titans,
the Giants, Giants pick at three, Browns at two.
So if the Giants are not thinking Shedeur Sanders, maybe they're thinking Travis Hunter or Dub Carter. Maybe then the Giants jump up to number two. But beside that, I mean, listen, again, I think they are good with who they have on their big board. They may not have a consensus, like, that's our guy at this point. Now, it may get there as we get closer to the draft. But I don't think they have a consensus, but I think they have a list of guys. Okay, these are the four guys, and Callahan said that these are the four guys that we are very interested in drafting, and we could draft them with the number one spot. And that's where Borgonzi sits at this point. So whether you're going to give up something and more, the Titans are more inclined to stay at that pick and draft, you know, one of these guys. Because you said, Willie, I mean, they're in the best position. You don't want to be in this position, you know, every year. But every once in a while, yes. But you're in the best position in the draft because you can take the pick of the litter because you're the number one pick.
I think it's going to be this way from now until the finish line, and I think you're going to see a lot of smoke and mirrors and different things to create again the perception that you're willing to do either one. You're taking the best deal. If the best deal is to pick at number one and you have a deep belief in Cam Ward, then that's good. But the most important thing is to create leverage, and you hope that two or three other teams have a big interest in that first pick, because that's the best thing for the Titans, regardless of what they end up doing.
You
if
know what
nobody I... calls, you don't have a choice, right? If nobody calls you and makes a deal for the first pick, or it's a deal that you're going, geez, we wouldn't trade the first pick for this, then you're picking first, and you can pick Cam Ward or you can pick Adam Vingan. But you're picking first.
I would advise against picking me.
I wonder how close. It, because as we look at it now, and Cam has been in the building, and they've, you know, did their wine and dining him, and then he's coming back for another workout. But I wonder how far is the gap between the two quarterbacks in their mind? Because to me, that dictates, as they start getting close to the draft, what they're more inclined to take. Because if they're looking for a quarterback, you know, to lead this franchise, but at this present moment, yeah, Cam Ward is above, you know, the quarterbacks in there. But how close, say, a Shedeur Sanders, or let's just say a Jackson Dart, how close are those guys, or the kid out of Indiana? Is that Howes? The big kid? We get it. But how close are those guys to Cam Ward?
Curtis Rourke is the quarterback.
And it's another guy. It's another guy that I was thinking of. But how close are they, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, at this point? Because we know, as we continue to move on, we got almost a month before the draft, a little bit over a month. We know things will change, and we know Shedeur has to come in the building, and if they give him another workout, we'll see how that goes. But how close are these two guys right now, and can that gap be shortened as we get closer to the draft? Which means, at first I said I would take swapping of the first, next year's first and second, something. But now we can just swap and give me your second next year, something like that, something that is more doable, that teams will be willing to you know, move out of that spot wherever they're at and move up to the number one spot. So I wonder how close those two guys are in the Titans' mind.
6-1.
It's an important question.
Go ahead.
It's an important question because if Sanders shoots up the board late, which has happened in past years, quarterbacks do that. That would be good for the Titans, I think.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, what the Titans should do with the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, which is roughly 4 weeks away, thankfully. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, speaking of Cam Ward, there is a question that I want to ask Derek and Willie and all of you about Cam Ward. I heard this question being asked, and it intrigued me. So I want to get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Want to win tickets to a Preds game? Then be listening to Robbie and Rexro tomorrow morning for Preds Pick to Click. All you have to do is guess a Preds goal score, and if they put the puck in the back of the net, you win. Be listening tomorrow morning for the cue to call on Robbie and Rexro.
But what the Tennessee Titans are doing is really going through a thorough evaluation process, not just trying to figure out, is Cam Ward the number one overall pick for them, but are they even going to make the number one overall pick? They have Cam Ward today, obviously. They were very famously at his pro day a couple days ago. In fact, remember, when Cam Ward threw a dime down the field, came over to Titans brass and basically said, I'm the guy for you. In other words, pick me at number one. Now, they are just not there yet. They also, by the way, are going to do a private workout with Shedeur Sanders after his pro day. So that is going to be in a couple weeks. And really what they want to find out, are either of these guys worthy of number one? If the answer is yes, then it is simple. Likely take Cam Ward. He is your franchise quarterback. And the Tennessee Titans, who had a really tough year last year, have a new general manager in a second year, a coach in Brian Callahan, can just move forward like that. If they do not believe that either player is worthy of number one, then likely they would look to trade, and they're going to have several teams interested. The Giants would potentially be one. The Saints would potentially be one. The Titans have time. They are trying to do a thorough process and figure it out. I would say it's likely that they make the number one pick right now, but that is not for certain.
That was Ian Rappaport from NFL Network late last week talking about what the Titans do at number one. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. We are proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. So you heard it in that clip. If the Titans deem Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders worthy of the number one pick, and a lot of the discourse about Cam Ward is, well, he's not as good as the other quarterbacks that have come out recently. He's not as good as any of the quarterbacks who were drafted last year. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. And look, I am guilty of it too. Remember, last week I went and looked at the NFL's database. I looked at the prospect grades of the top three quarterbacks taken in each draft since 2014, and Cam Ward would have the lowest grade of any quarterback taken with a top three pick since at least 2014. So I am guilty of having this conversation as well. But it is a popular talking point whenever we discuss Cam Ward. And then I was listening to a podcast that featured Derek Clawson, who is part of the Athletic Football Show. I believe the podcast he was on is part of the Yahoo Sports Network. And they were discussing a question that I actually find to be quite fascinating. The question, are we underrating Cam Ward because of the discourse around this quarterback class? This is Derek Clawson of the Athletic Football Show on that very subject.
The question is just, do they take one early or kick it down the road? And what should they do, Derek?
Yeah, I think they should take Cam Ward. And I know, so my take on Cam Ward is that he's actually become underrated because the rest of the class sucks. Like, we've done this thing where it's like everyone just says, oh, it's not a good quarterback class. It's not a good quarterback class. It's not a good quarterback class. And I think beyond the first guy, that is absolutely true. But I think that's almost like gotten too far into our heads and we've allowed it to seep into what we actually think of Cam Ward. And I think the other part of that, too, is like we're coming off an incredible quarterback class from last year. Like, for as much as I like Cam Ward, he's not in the Drake May or Caleb Williams tier.
Sure.
And then even though I didn't love Jaden Daniels quite as much as a prospect, obviously his rookie season was incredible. So it would be hard for Ward to live up to those guys. But at the same time, I still think he's a considerably better prospect than guys like Michael Penix or Bo Nix or J.J. McCarthy. And I just feel like we've seen a little bit too more like, oh, he would be quarterback six in last year's class. And I'm like, no, he wouldn't, man. He is better than those guys.
That was Derek Clawson of the Athletic Football Show.
I mean, Derek seemed to think alike. I said those same.
It's spelled without the C. It's D-E-R-R-I-K, which I've never actually seen that spelling before.
His parents, I don't know what happened. Maybe they were sleepy and forgot the K.
They forgot the extra C.
Yeah, they were tired. He was born so late, they were tired. But I said this exact same thing last week.
You did?
This exact same
thing. And now you have validation.
Yeah, and listen, there could be 20 other people that say, you know, opposite of what myself and this Derek is saying. But I do feel this to be true. I think we are creatures of the moment or prisoners of the moment. And sometimes we are just looking at what is now as opposed to, you know, the whole. If Cam Ward, and I said this the last time, if Cam Ward had the same season he had this year, last year and came out, he would have been amongst those guys in the top of the draft. There would have been people that would have drafted him higher than J.J. McCarthy. Minnesota may have taken him higher than J.J. McCarthy. Denver may have taken him over Bo Nix. So, because we got to understand, they didn't think Bo Nix, they didn't have Bo Nix or J.J. McCarthy in the top 10. A lot of people, all these pundits and everybody's talking about, you know, oh, that was such a superb class. They didn't have Michael Penix going where he went. They didn't have a Bo Nix going where he went. There was three guys that we were, you know, consistently talking about. Drake May, Caleb Williams, and Daniels. That's it. And then those other guys were like, yeah, these are first-round guys, but they are nowhere near these guys. And then all of a sudden, we see a Bo Nix, a Michael Penix, a J.J. McCarthy. And then they play well during the season. And then now it's, oh, look at that class from last year. Oh, my goodness, that's a great class. We are creatures of the moment. We captured that one moment right then and there, and it affects how we think moving forward. Had this draft had Jackson Dart been more consistent, had Milroe been more consistent, because these are the guys that we were talking about, you know, Ewers of Texas. If those guys had been more consistent,
Carson Beck had such a rough college season, he went back to college.
Exactly. But these were the guys that they were talking about the year prior, they would be high draft picks.
Right.
Now they're just completely off the board. Yep. So, again, I think Cam Ward is getting docked because of the draft as a whole. If this was a better draft, if there was more competition for that number one pick amongst quarterbacks, we would be talking a whole, even if there was two other guys. And I'm not talking about, you know, five or six. I'm just saying if it was Shedeur Sanders and Jackson Dart or somebody else closer to Cam Ward, that could, you can really give an argument for that number one pick, oh, this would be a different conversation.
I really caught – it caught my attention, the reference point of where –
And throw Richardson exactly in there as well.
Where exactly Ward fell. I thought it was interesting to say that they think that Ward is a better prospect than Penix, McCarthy, and Nix. That's enticing, I think, even though – it comes down to, again, one of my questions that I've repeated over and over during this process, and that is, it's clear that Ward is a first-round pick caliber, but is he worthy of the first pick? That's what the Titans have to decide. And even if he's not, is their need for a quarterback still good enough and you like him enough that you're willing to take him at one, even if he's not that elite, elite player that you, in your grand slam hopes, you hope that the elite prospect is there at number one, right? Whether it's a quarterback or not. You want an awesome game changer, culture changer, all the things that Mike Borgonzi, I thought, articulated well in that article we read several weeks ago, right? And it was Albert Breer that did the article. He had some really good quotes saying, the number one pick in the draft is supposed to change the culture of your franchise. He is a guy that's a leader. He's going to carry people with him into the fight. And he was talking about whether that's a quarterback or not. So I think that's the central question.
That quote, by the way, from Mike Borgonzi to Albert Breer. Quote, this pick, when we're picking this high, this guy should drive the culture. It's like, this is the type of guy we're looking for. When you make a pick this high, you don't want to just get enamored by the talent you see on film. That's part of the process. The other part is making sure that that person fits the culture and he's going to drive the culture too.
Yes.
That's an important part.
And it goes back to this.
So that's the dilemma, mm-hmm. right? Is, hey, we need a quarterback, and Cam Ward is a good quarterback prospect. Mm-hmm. I think we all can agree on that. But is he the guy that's described in those quotes?
Yeah, it I like the last part, which was interesting, what Borgonzi said, looking at the talent and being so enamored by the talent that you may gloss over some of these other areas that are really important as well. But you look at the talent, you say, man, this talent is off the charts. I hadn't seen anything like this in a while. So when he talks about drafting a guy at that number one spot and he needs to be a culture leading type of player, a tone setter within your locker room, he's not just talking about the play on the field, because a lot of guys can be all world, and I've seen it, but they don't move the needle when it comes to being a leader in the locker room or showing that ability to, you know, get people to want to follow you in such a way that no matter what happens, if you're down 10, 15, you know, 21 points, those guys are looking at you. I played with a guy like that. Matter of fact, I played with two of them here, Steve and Eddie. Those guys, were the numbers gaudy? No, not really. Eddie was great. I mean, Steve's numbers were not gaudy other than the MVP year, but it wasn't just about the play on the field. It was what they did and how they led and what we, as guys in that locker room, what we saw week in and week out, and we knew if he can do it, damn it, we can do it too.
615-737-1025. Let us know on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Are we underrating Cam Ward because of the discourse around this quarterback class as a whole? 615-737-1025. It's time for the fourth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament. Cromwell Media, along with partners Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor, are proud to announce we will be back at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th, to make a difference while having a great time. You can join us and a few guest media members, athletes, and musicians as we raise money for Folds of Honor. Donations will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com.
What's coming in this building? You want to see Mario Cristobal like melt? It's bringing in a transfer from Washington State, who started at Incarnate Word, who comes in and changes the absolute culture of this entire organization, if you will. The entire program changed when he walked in that door. His commitment to excellence is what it needs to be elite. His work ethic, it's not just the work ethic, it's the demand he puts on you.
Right.
As a teammate, that stuff's real. That stuff matters. And I think that that's a big part of why he's going to be the number one overall pick. He's a culture-changing type of leader with an elite release quickness, very strong arm, good overall accuracy as a passer. Can drill some stuff in and become even better. His decision-making is overly aggressive at times. It's questionable at times. You want to rip your hair out with some of the stuff he does, okay? Won't get away with it in the NFL. Same with Patrick Mahomes coming out. Same with Josh Allen coming out. I promise you. The instincts, the twitch, the off-platform, the ability to create magic is that additional stuff.
That was Todd McShay talking about Cam Ward, and we were just talking about the culture aspect of it, right? Driving the culture. And Todd McShay on his podcast was touching on those very things, Derek.
Yeah, I mean, the play is what it is, I think. And I think because he's been to several different universities, I think that people do hold that against him for whatever reason. But I'm sure people look at it as a positive too. Like, he was able to go to these, you know, different universities. He started at Incarnate Word and then found himself at the end at the University of Miami. And they talked about, Cristobal raves about, you know, his ability to get guys to follow him, his ability to command the locker room, the huddle, but also his ability to know everybody in the building, to make friends with everybody in the building. He's that type of guy. That's the type of leader that you want. And then you hear Todd McShay talk about some of the intangibles that he has. And he's right. You know, they talked about, why do you think Patrick Mahomes wasn't drafted, you know, in the top two or three? Because the numbers were there. But because of some of those, you know, aggressive type throws, some of those throws that they said, you won't be able to get away with that in the NFL. He talked about Josh Allen, same thing. You know, guys that are aggressive with the football. Oh, he won't be able to get away with that in the NFL. But what happens? You develop as a quarterback. Even the Patrick Mahomes, they said he wouldn't get away with him. He's gotten away with just about everything he's been able to. And he was doing this in college. So he's one of those guys that has been able. Caleb Williams, to a certain extent, has been able to get away with it somewhat. But it also has come to bite him. But he has to develop into, how do I do this? How do I be calculated when I do it? That's what Patrick has found out. That's what Josh Allen has found out. So, yeah, you may look at these things about Cam Ward and you say, man, those are some aggressive throws. Man, he maybe, but you do believe that he can develop out of that as Patrick Mahomes did and as Josh Allen did.
So, Willie, the question we're asking each other and all of you at 615-737-1025, are we underrating Cam Ward because of the discourse around this quarterback class? And speaking of Todd McShay put together his quarterback draft tiers. He combined last year's quarterback draft class with this year's quarterback draft class and put them in tiers. So tier one, this was Todd McShay. Tier one, elite prospects should be day one starters and project as future all-pro caliber players. He had three quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. I don't think any of us would argue with that.
Mm-mm.
Tier two, notch below elite, immediate impact players, and eventual high-end starters worthy of a top 15 pick regardless of class. J.J. McCarthy last year and Cam Ward. He has the same grade on those two players, a 92. Tier 3, immediate contributors who should quickly develop into starting caliber players, considered quality values in the bottom half of round 1 in any given draft class. Michael Penix, Bo Nix, Shedeur Sanders, and Jaxson Dart. So those are Todd McShay's top three tiers for the quarterback classes combined last year and this year.
It's compelling stuff. And it goes to show you the process of evaluation and how it continues to evolve as more information comes out there. Because I swear, am I remembering this wrong? That it was Sanders and Ward for a long time before it is... You know, there's been some separation.
I think it was around the time of the combine, right? Where it started to feel, although neither of them performed at the combine, I felt like it was at the combine where people who were there started saying there's some separation building between Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. So that's been, what, about a month, right?
And if you could go back to the regular season, I remember Deion Sanders, I think it was maybe – around bowl season, something like that. He did some kind of thing with Antonio Pierce, and it was kind of off the record, but it was on tape. And, you know, they were joking, right? Hey, the Raiders might get the first pick, huh? You know, wink, wink. You know, like there was a lot of open talk, and Deion certainly didn't shy away from it, that, hey, you know, my son's going to be right up there at the top of the draft. And he probably had some reason to believe that that was true at the time. But it does evolve, and so I'm guessing that these evaluations are a little bit more homework. There's more data involved, but I still am sitting there going, wow, Cam Ward's stock has risen a lot since the end of the football season. And so is that real? Right. I'm still a little hesitant, but I know in the big picture it is really hard to know that you've got the right guy. You can't know. As much as you feel like you've done your homework and you think he's the right guy, you just don't know.
I think it has a little bit possibly to do with the team that is drafting number one. And everybody knows that they need a quarterback, meaning the Tennessee Titans. So I don't think it's so much that maybe Cam Ward – it's just, you know, exploding up the draft chart. I think it's based upon the team that is drafting in their need and how they've approached Cam Ward. They probably at the beginning thought that this was probably a two-horse race, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. And we like both of them, but we're going to have to get more information. And as they started to get more information, it's just – because we are in a position to draft a quarterback number one, he is coming out more and more to be the type of guy that we want to lead our franchise. But it may not be that way with the Cleveland Browns, the Giants, teams like that need quarterbacks. They probably still look at it as, well, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Jaxson Dart, Quinn Ewers, maybe Tyler Hugh. That's who I was thinking of, Tyler Hugh out of Louisville. Is it Hugh or Shue?
It's Shuck.
Shuck. Shuck.
It looks like Shue or Shaw, but Shaw, it's Shuck.
Yeah, Shuck. So
don't ask me to explain.
Yeah, I won't even do that to you. But I think maybe other teams have a different sort of big board than what the Titans have in regards to how they rank Cam Ward amongst not just the quarterbacks, not amongst just the other players, but really amongst the quarterback. And would they be justified, or would it be good if they drafted? Do they believe they will not go wrong by drafting Cam Ward?
Robert is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Robert, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hey, Ding Mace, how you doing, Bob?
Hey, you're doing well.
Hey, I got just a real quick question on this draft. I know it's, the first thing I want to ask you, have you ever seen a draft this freaking ugly? I mean, it's just, there ain't nothing out there. And then my second question is, Do you think – I just don't think Ward's worthy of a first-round pick. And is there anybody out there that will put together a package maybe where we could trade that first-round pick? And I'll hang up and listen to y'all off the phone, man. Love on you people.
Thanks for the call, Robert. So we alluded to this earlier. The Browns GM, Andrew Berry, said at the league meetings that he would – it appears unlikely that the Browns are going to make a trade up one spot. Mm-hmm. He said, quote, at this point in the process, anything is possible. Candidly, I wouldn't necessarily see that as likely. There are a number of players that we like in this draft relatively high, but I think as we come to really the end of March, first week of April, we're coming down the home stretch, so to speak, about probably the player assessment phase of the draft process. And then as we really get into the month of April, that's when we really dive into strategy. So again, as Willie said, you have to take all of these things with a mm-hmm. grain of salt. But it appears that the Browns are maybe pumping the brakes on a potential move up one spot. The Giants also seem to suggest today that they may not want to move up as well. So, again, grain of salt. But the teams that we've been talking about who could make that move may be taking themselves out of it for now.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Okay.
But you had Rappaport just then saying that there would be several teams
that are willing.
That could be interested, right?
Yes.
But several. Listen, it's going to continue to fluctuate.
Not one, not a few.
Yeah.
Yeah, several.
Several.
But as we get closer and closer to the draft, it would either swing one way, completely one way, or completely the other. And when we talk about teams potentially moving up, you know, to that number one pick, or, you know, the Titans changing their, you know, price on, you know, what it would cost to move up to that number one spot. But to go to the caller's question as far as, you know, this draft not being a good draft and the Titans moving out of the number one pick because Cam Ward, he in his mind, he doesn't believe is worthy of the number one pick. I'm not sure if he really meant a first round pick. I think he was just saying the number one pick. And again, this is the sentiment that we've heard, you know, periodically, or we've heard at one point, you know, a lot at the beginning. Cam Ward's not worth the number one pick. Cam Ward's not worth the number one pick. Listen, if the Tennessee Titans believe he is worth the number one pick, then draft him. If what was the stat that Tim Hasselbeck, or the quarterback that Tim Hasselbeck threw in there,
from Andy Cincinnati, Dalton.
Andy Dalton. Look at Andy Dalton's 8 years in Cincinnati. And they really didn't have any talent other than, I think, A.J. Green.
A.J. Green,
That's it. They didn't have much talent.
But they had a double-digit win run for a while with him in there.
Exactly. And his numbers were good numbers. They were good numbers. So if you can get that Tennessee Titans for 10 years and build your team around him, and you're getting double-digit wins, and you may go on a long run a few times within the playoffs, and you may just reach the Super Bowl. But let's just say the play in general, Andy Dalton's play.
By the way, his first five seasons in the NFL, remember there were 16 games at this point. 9 wins, 10 wins, 11 wins, 10 wins, 10 wins. That was Andy Dalton's record.
With him underneath center.
For the first five seasons of his career.
And we know they don't like spending money, okay? Cincinnati, at least they didn't back then. They do now. So if you had that, if you are going to get Cam Ward, if you're going to get A.J. Dalton at the number one pick, would you take it? That's what fans – because I think fans
– most fans would say no, to be honest.
Because fans – because you know why? Fans think that –
expectations.
Exactly. They want Jaden Daniels. They want one of these super – they want a Peyton Manning. They want a Patrick Mahomes. Well, Patrick Mahomes didn't get drafted number one.
615.
Right, so you don't know.
Exactly.
That's the other thing. Like, this is if you know it's Andy Dalton, then I think most fans would probably vote, hey, that's not worth the one pick. The other part of the equation that is very unknown, very murky right now, but I'm sure the Titans have probably gone down this road as best they can, is evaluating the quarterbacks that are coming into next year's draft, right? Is next year's draft supposed to be more loaded with quarterbacks than this year's draft? That's something to consider.
615-737-1025. We will take your thoughts on the Titans' decision at number one overall. And you can also continue to answer the question, are we underrating Cam Ward because of the discourse around this quarterback class? 615-737-1025. But coming up next, oh boy, we got to talk about the Vols, man. It was a rough one yesterday for Tennessee. We will get to that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.